Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester with a hoarse voice and all. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I'm so glad to be arguing with one Chester. Finish that and now get on the podcast and talk to you for an hour. You can never have too many Chesters. That's what they say. Maybe Haley Chester. Is there a Haley Chester? Maybe she could come yell at me after this.
It's funny you say this because...
Shy, I don't really know.
Just a few minutes ago, I got a 1 minute and 5 second voice memo from my brother complaining about one Akiva Wienerker.
So. Do you want to play it? Can you play it?
Well, I would have to consult with him. I don't know if it was meant for...
No, play it. Does he listen to this? I think he probably does, right?
Check with him.
He's like Chester. He doesn't really have feelings.
I will check with him, and if that's the case, I'll put it in post.
Co-commissioning a league with Akiva Wienerker is a great joy. He doesn't bother to read the rules until the last few weeks of the regular season, when he goes completely apeshit over the fact that there are basic concepts and elements of the league, which he is presumably also in charge of, which he was never aware of, and then he insists he never agreed to them, despite ignoring countless emails to that effect. And then goes completely crazy and threatens to quit unless he gets his way. And then when related issues pop up that need resolving, he also goes completely apeshit, and endless logic and endless discussion doesn't really lead anywhere. But ultimately, I guess, it's the pain with the pleasure, and it's all worth it.
But what's your side of the story?
Well, I'm in his fantasy league. It's actually become a pretty good league. It's modeled after your league. We had a nice barbecue watch party on Sunday. Everyone enjoyed good barbecue, except for your brother, who, unbeknownst to the host and to everyone, is a vegetarian, which he didn't tell the person, so there's not much you could do on the fly for a vegetarian to barbecue. In general, vegetarians and vegans and barbecues, it's not really their place. It's not like their where
and
they shine.
And to show up to a barbecue and not tell people ahead of time. Now, if you meet Sammy Chester, everything about him exudes the fact that he's a vegetarian. It's hard to not know he's a vegetarian. So the is the host somebody who doesn't know him very well or at all, I guess?
Yeah, the host would have no idea. I mean, I didn't even know. I think he told me once, but I had forgotten.
Yeah, I don't know how you have a conversation with him and not realize that about him, but...
Anyway, so...
But he's also... Well. He's not going to show up to the barbecue and complain.
Like, no, that's the point. He would never make it about him. He wouldn't say it. Yeah. I would have a tattoo on my head that said, you know, I need 6 side dishes. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, but you also wouldn't show up to the barbecue without having announced it ahead of time.
Of course. Yeah, I would have told everybody.
Yeah.
I would have inconvenienced anyone I needed to.
Yeah.
Listen, we keep kosher, and it's tricky sometimes. We've been to weddings where maybe the food wasn't for us, and it's tricky.
I have that situation this coming weekend, actually.
The food wedding isn't kosher?
I'm going... I should not be saying this on the podcast, so...
Oh, no. I know what you're talking about.
My significant other is not pleased and wants to cancel our attendance at the wedding, and I'll have to edit this out after the podcast, so...
You should go alone.
Well, a friend of mine who is going to the wedding was desperately hoping that my wife would cancel so that he could hang out with me and not have her as a third wheel, slash him be the third wheel. So he kept saying, why doesn't Jed not come?
She should not go. I would offer. I mean, if I could be your plus one, I would go to this. It sounds like a fun wedding.
Where there's nothing to eat, yeah. Also, like, I don't really care about not eating. Like, I can go without food, but my wife cannot go without food. So
she gets hangry. Mara gets really hangry. That's why, like, if she ever went on Survivor, she would, like, stab someone on day two.
Yeah.
Because they were just eating
rice. I mean, like, if I'm, like, starving, I'll slow down and I won't be, like, you know, as, like, you know, quick on the draw.
Right.
But my mood won't change. Just my energy will change. But my wife's mood.
Right. My mood will change.
Yeah. My wife's mood changes dramatically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. My wife.
And so does my, you know, I spent one summer I went to Europe with my sister. And then another summer, several years later, I'm with my wife. Both times we went in August, and in August, like, all of Europe goes on vacation.
Yeah.
And so nothing's open. And the first time I went with my sister, this was, like, before, like, smartphones and stuff. So ahead of time, I had made a map of, like, where every kosher restaurant was in, like, Paris, for example. Yes. And we would hike, like, 3 miles to get there, and it'd be closed. And this happened day after day, and my sister wanted to murder me. Yeah. And then with my wife, annoying. The same thing happened throughout Italy. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's Italy. You're like there for the food. The other things, at least, it's like an activity. You know, eating is the activity when you're in Italy.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If you're like a strictly kosher observant Jew, you're not going anywhere for the food outside of like New York and Israel.
You go on vacation to Teaneck, New Jersey, to the Five Towns. Yeah. Okay, so here's what happened. So Sammy, so he decides that keepers in our league are too cheap. And what happened was this summer.
Hold on, he decides this like in the middle of the season when it's already been established.
It's week 11 of the NFL. All right, in case you didn't know. So I said to him, you know, I'm really mad about the keepers because I'm in first place in that league, and everyone's going to be tanking to like the bad teams because the trade deadline's not until next Thursday. So
which is very late for a keeper league.
There are like four teams.
Way too late for a keeper.
And now there's another week. Way too late.
Yeah.
So, but Sammy like does all this without, like he could ask you who like runs the most serious league imaginable, but he's stubborn and he does this all himself.
I mean, I did tell him.
He's a very good commissioner, but he's not experienced enough yet.
Yeah, I did tell him to get rid of keepers. Yeah. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Well, he asked me in June, he said, all right, what do you think about keepers? I said, no.
It ruins
leagues. And then he put it up. And he put it on a vote that I didn't even see, and the vote won. So I'm officially the co-commissioner, whatever that means, but it was not up to me. So then I realized, like, oh, it's way too – the way our draft is structured is very different. Like, it's out of a hat, the auction, which is cool, but it doesn't yield keepable totals. It's insane. It's – so anyway, long story short, he decided today – that he needed to change and make keepers more expensive, even though, as he says, he is the most to benefit from it keeping the same, which is what everyone always says when they want to change something.
Yeah, and let me just say, so Sammy leaves me this 1-minute and 5-second message in which he didn't discuss the context of your disagreement. He just discussed the nature of the way that you disagree about things.
Oh, boy.
And so I was 100% on board with all of Sammy's comments.
Oh, yeah, no question.
But he didn't tell me that the context is he's trying to change the rules of a league in the middle of a season.
He is. I'm not nitpicking. He is being insane. So here's what happened.
He's 100% wrong.
So he posts. Yeah, he's wrong. I knew. Yeah. And I said, like, ask Alex. I know that, like, I'm happy to have you mediate any of these arguments, and you will side with me. You've sided with me the whole season on everything. So he puts in the WhatsApp group, in the league WhatsApp group, I know we don't like doing this, but we're changing a rule. Keepers are now like double the price, or whatever it is, and people go bananas.
Yeah,
and he also wrote like Akiva and I decided. I didn't decide. There's a whole G chat. He's just seeing what he wants to see. Where I keep saying no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. No, and so he's like, what do you mean? So he's like, all right, we'll put it to a vote. Well, I said, okay, but the vote has to be unanimous because it's a mid-season change, and in every league like this, you can't change things unless no one has a problem with it. You agree?
No, I don't agree with the unanimous part of it.
So he said if it's six to strong majority.
If it's 6-6, you can't change it. If it's 8-4, I think you can change it.
What about 7-5 or 8-4?
I think 8-4 you can change it. You got a 2/3. It's 7-5.
But I don't believe he got any votes. I'm not sure he got any votes.
Oh, okay.
I think it was like 11-1 against him.
Okay.
So, but he was just being insane. So why am I the bad guy? He wanted to change rule. And in the middle of the season, don't worry about it now. It has no effect on the rest of the season. We'll change it later.
But you are right. It does if it's going to lead people to making these ridiculous trades. But look, people have been making.
I'm going to make a ridiculous
trade. People have been making moves all year.
Baker Mayfield for really cheap for next year. Yeah. I'm going to flip him for freaking. I could trade Baker Mayfield for Adam Thielen right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly what the problem is with keeper leagues and why they're stupid. So.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So that's the first segment. That's our lame Chester of the week. It goes to Sammy. I love you, Sammy, but what are you insulting me?
This ends like a 500 week winning streak of me being lame Chester of the week, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I
think
probably one week Fern got it.
I was gonna say you've probably given it to Jen a few times, like when she no-showed the cereal tournament. You weren't happy about
that. Hashtag not my Chester. She's a gonic. Okay. Now next segment is Dumb Listener of the Week. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This is going to be an ongoing segment, recurring segment, Dumb Listener of the Week.
Because we have a lot of them.
So this one goes to Josh Cantor.
Oh!
Josh Cantor went to a San Antonio Spurs game. I've never been to a San Antonio Spurs game, even though I am
very
quite
odd.
Literally a lifelong San Antonio Spurs fan.
Very odd. You have to point out that he doesn't live in San Antonio.
No, I don't.
Or Texas.
The country
or the Southwest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But he was there. I'm not even sure why, but that's very cool. He went to a Spurs-Rockets game. But then he posts on Facebook that I'm here at the Spurs-Rockets game. there are 6 Hall of Famers here. It's so cool. And then somebody says, hey, Josh, who are the 6 Hall of Famers? You want to hear who the 6 Hall of Famers are?
Yeah, I know. I saw that. We've been having this stupid
James
argument.
James Harden, but the listeners don't.
Okay.
So just pretend.
Yeah.
James Harden.
Fine.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Chris Paul.
Fine.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Pau Gasol.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep.
The Euro guys have a high threshold.
No, he should be.
Pop.
Yeah, obviously.
He should be or he shouldn't be?
Gasol should be. I don't care about the European thing. Based on his NBA career, he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pop.
Yep.
Obvious Hall of Famer.
Yep.
An immortal
the goat.
Coach.
The goat.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
So he blamed me for this one. I do think he'll eventually end up in the Hall of Fame.
But Chris Webber's not in. And Webber, Webber beats.
But Chris Webber will be in the Hall of Fame next year, and he should be already.
Okay. So maybe Aldridge. Problem is, I don't know if he's ever going to be in the NBA Finals. It's very tricky. And he said Carmelo's homesick, which was the beginning of the end of Carmelo. But here's his 6th person.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah. I've been arguing with him about this for a while.
What is he talking about?
So listen.
Is he insane?
Well, okay.
Mike D'Antoni has a losing playoff record.
To defend.
He has a winning regular season.
To defend
record.
Mr. Cantor for a second, who, in your opinion, is the best NBA basketball writer out there at the moment?
Zach Lowe.
Okay. So Cantor is obsessed with Zach Lowe, and Zach Lowe has repeatedly said that Mike D'Antoni should be in the Hall of Fame. And so I don't think Cantor is developing his own opinions here. He's just regurgitating what somebody that he respects a lot in the NBA says, and so that's why he says that.
So now I give the award, the dumb listener of the week, to
Zach
a non-listener, Lowe.
Yeah.
Zach Lowe.
Yeah, basically.
Well, just because of his, but not because of his on the court.
It would be like Don Coryell in the NFL. It's not because of his performance as a coach, but because, how he changed the game. Basically.
Yeah, so like I mean, by that standard, like Ron Artest should be in the Hall of Fame because he like moved the fans back 2 feet, punching them.
Yeah,
like he changed the on-court dynamic. Yeah. That has more of an effect.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our dumb listener of the week. All right, you ready for a quick NBA game? Because the NFL this week was really lousy. I'm happy to talk about next week, but there's really nothing to talk about.
Yeah, it was last week in the NFL was one of the most boring weeks we've ever had. Even though there was a bunch of upsets.
The night games were good. The Sunday night and Monday night games were good.
Well, but it was I mean, nobody cares about the Giants and the 49ers.
Well, if you play fantasy football, a lot of people
I have Saquon Barkley in literally every single team.
So do I.
Yeah.
So I care a lot.
And I lost. Well, that part of the reason I hated the week is I lost in literally every single fantasy league I'm in on Sunday. My picks were abysmal. I went 2-5
in
our picks.
First losing week in Spread Survivor where you have to pick.
Yeah.
Just go 2-2. You did it 10 weeks in a row or 9 weeks till this week.
And the funny thing is, I went 7-7 for the week overall against the spread, but my lock of the week was Philadelphia, and they lost. And then I went 1-3, as you said, in our pick 4. I went 2-5 in our pick 7. So basically, the more confident in a game I was, the more I was wrong. So, terrible week by me all around.
Okay, so quick NBA game.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the TNT game, Who They Play For?
Yeah.
Which is Kenny and Ernie Johnson ask Charles Barkley the first week of the season, who does so-and-so play for?
Yeah. And I do slightly better than Barkley, which is not good because he's paid millions of dollars to know about the NBA.
Yeah, but again, he's supposed to know about the All-Star.
Yeah, but it is very hard, honestly. They ask really tough
questions. It's a hard game, but I will make it slightly easier. I want to play with you.
Well, you know this. So, but here's the not fair part. Like, I have been less interested in the NBA this year than ever before because Tom Thibodeau murdered my team.
Yeah, that is tricky. But you should watch the rest of the league. The thing about the NBA is if you can stomach the fact that your team sucks, like my team is very mediocre. Obviously, the league as a whole is amazing. The regular season is probably better than the playoffs this year because the playoffs.
Yeah,
but then
the other thing is like it started way too early. I'm not Bill Simmons. I don't get into it until football season's over.
They're moving it back a little bit next week. They realized how early it was
next year. Yeah,
they're moving it back.
Well, this is the earliest that they ever did it this year.
This year and last year they did it. Really
all right. Okay. So I'm going to do very badly on this, but whatever.
Okay. What team is my beloved Shabazz Napier on? Beloved because UConn Huskies.
Honestly, we got to stop doing this. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get 0 of these, so it's not going to be interesting.
You're going to get 0?
Yeah, I'm totally out of the loop. Unless you're asking like stars, I'm not going to know.
No. So should I just make it hard? Do you know what team Mozgov's on? I'm going to go quick. Let's see if you get 1, okay?
I'm telling you I'm not going to. Okay.
Trey Burke. That's easier.
Is he on the Knicks?
Yeah.
Okay.
See? Sam Decker. Kevin Harlan's son-in-law.
Sam Decker, I'm going to guess, I don't know. I don't even know.
He's on the Cavs.
Okay.
Zaza, the worst player in the NBA. The most despicable person alive.
I totally forgot he wasn't even on the Warriors anymore. Charlotte?
No,
I have no idea.
On the Warriors. JaVale's in his spot. No, he's on Detroit. All right, you don't know.
No, JaVale's not in his spot. JaVale's on the Lakers.
Okay. Now, usually this time of year, we start ranking the games. Do you have the games ranked?
No, but I will say it is a great week this week, unlike last week, because...
Yeah, it's a good week.
Well, here's what happened.
There's no big spreads at all.
Well, okay, so this is why. You have six teams on bye, right?
Yeah.
And of those six teams, five of them are probably among the worst, like, eight teams in the league. So you have the Patriots and five abysmal teams on bye.
The whole AFC East, I think, right?
Yeah, so but it's great because when you have five bad teams on bye, it knocks out a lot of, like, bad games. Then the two worst teams of the teams that are playing this week are playing each other.
What's that game?
So you have the one meaningless game that nobody cares about, which is Arizona and Oakland.
Should we start there?
And then you have Tampa and the Giants, which is another game like that. And then every other game is you have the Chargers game, but every other game is between playoff teams or between playoff contending teams. So as you said, there's no big spreads. The biggest spread of the week, which is kind of insane, is the defending champions.
What are they, 7 or 7.5?
Yeah, they're going into New Orleans and they are huge underdogs. So if you're like a survivor,
people are going to be survivoring New Orleans and anti-survivoring Philly.
Well, anti-survivoring Philly makes more sense, but to survivor New Orleans against the defending champions is crazy. But who do you pick in survivor? It's a really tough week if you're still alive.
Yeah, it's a hard week. You sort of have to go with the biggest spread. Are you comfortable going, like, you want to flip a coin on the Bucks Giants game? Do you want to assume the Raiders have quit and pick the Cardinals?
I'm alive and anti-survivor, and I picked a team this week who's only a 3.5-point favorite, I think. So
it's really tricky.
I picked an underdog. I mean, I picked a team to lose, obviously, who's only a 3.5-point underdog. Yeah.
Most of these pools are going to. All right, so let's go game by game and see if we have any takes.
Okay.
Do we write teams off like Bill and Sal?
I mean, we copy 80% of their podcasts, so.
Okay, should we cross off? Are there cross offs?
Yeah, I mean, we can cross off like half the league by this point.
Okay. We discussed on RANAP this week if the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender.
All right, well, I'll have to wait till Sunday to find out about that, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with the Thursday night game because that's Packers Seahawks. That's a really good Thursday night game.
Yeah, these two teams are both
Is this a loser leaves town match?
Well, I think, you know, the Packers are they have such an uphill battle already because they're 4-4. They've already, you know, they only tied at home against Minnesota, so they have to go at Minnesota. They have to go at Chicago. So I guess they control their own destiny because they could go into Minnesota and Chicago and win those two games. And if they do that, then I guess it doesn't really matter if they lose this game. Seattle at 4-5. If Seattle loses, they're done because then they'd be 4-6 and they'd be losing more tiebreakers. So I think for Seattle, it's a must win. For Green Bay, it's not just because, again, they get to play Minnesota and Chicago still.
Yeah. I would still, if I was advising these teams, I would advise them to win this game.
Yes, that's good advice.
That would be my take.
And by the way, Seattle, Seattle's 4-5, but that includes two very close losses to the Rams.
Yeah.
That week
Seattle's
one,
fine. I think
the week one loss to Denver looks
worse,
I think, as time goes on.
Denver's weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you saw them get destroyed by your Jets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think people are skewed by seeing them having, like, two really bad losses. Yeah. But Denver's not, like, a bottom four team at all.
But you're right. It's a good start to the week. It's going to be a good game.
I don't think Rodgers has it right now. I think Rodgers going to play out the string and then make sure they fire McCarthy.
Rodgers hasn't really had it for a couple of years. His yards per attempt has gone down each of the last few years. And I'm not sure, you know, you watch him physically. Obviously, this year he's been banged up, but physically he doesn't seem any different. To me, I think you just have to chalk it up to his
coach. We're talking about a guy with one interception this year.
Yeah, but he's dinking and dunking. Just you look at the offense that he's running and you compare it to the offenses that any of these other guys get to run, you know. Like, how jealous must he be of Jared Goff or Pat Mahomes or whoever, or Tom Brady?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, yeah. he would. I mean, his numbers are 17-1. Listen, we're also spoiled by Brady playing forever and still being good this year. It's not unreasonable for a guy in his 14th season to start being bad. Like, we've seen that
forever. Yeah, but I'm saying, but does Rodgers look any different physically? Because his age doesn't seem to have affected him.
The completion percentage is weird. I think he just decided he doesn't want to get hit anymore. So, like, once every single drive, he throws the ball away. So I don't know if his true completion percentage would be 61% because, like, that's, you know, it's not an accuracy issue if you throw the ball away.
Yeah.
But it's concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, he stayed healthy. That's good.
Yeah. Well, he's played every game. But, he knows that if he loses his team if he's hurt, his team loses every game. So I think they're going to go into Seattle. I think it'll be a close game, but I have Seattle. I'll probably give the points also.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle at home, if just straight winner, I'm picking Seattle. But I think with the points, I would probably lean towards Green Bay. It's not fun to watch a game and have bet against Aaron Rodgers. You never, like, are happy about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's next?
I really like Atlanta-Dallas. It's a pretty similar game, honestly, to Green Bay-Seattle. The Atlanta-Dallas game early Sunday is an excellent game.
Well, I was very wrong about Dallas. I thought they were very bad. I thought I couldn't understand why the Eagles were giving up less than a touchdown at home to that garbage Dallas team. The Eagles had looked really good, you know, right before the bye. And I was really shocked by
what I saw.
I've
loved everything I've seen from Dak for like 4 weeks. I've watched the, like, all their Dak.
Yeah, because they're on
so
national
hard.
TV every week. They
have no receivers. I mean, Amari's like, okay.
I mean, Amari Cooper has played very well, too. Like, he was, like, running very crisp routes. You know, his hands.
Now, where would you draft him if he was in the draft? Would you pick him 10th?
And not pay him $15 million a year like he's getting paid next year.
Yeah, and would you pick him 10th and pay him 8th?
Yeah, it's obviously a terrible trade. But, you know, he does. His biggest problem in Oakland always was his drops, and he has not had that issue so far in Dallas. So,
by the way, a brutal week for the Falcons, because at least Cowboys, the Cowboys get to go home for that Thanksgiving game, but the Falcons have a short week in New Orleans. That's like having like 2 days to prepare for Drew Brees on a Thursday night game.
Yeah,
is vicious.
Yeah, the Vikings had to do that at the Rams earlier this year, so it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you beat Dallas, you lose to New Orleans, you split the difference. But, Dallas, New Orleans, Baltimore, Green Bay, Arizona, Carolina, Tampa Bay. What do you have Atlanta finishing? 8-8?
Well, we discussed this last week, yeah.
But you haven't adjusted it? You never adjust later wins?
No, I do adjust it every week, but I don't think we are. Does everybody want to hear my readjusted every single?
No, I'm not going to do every team. I'm just curious about the Falcons. Now, because if they go 7-9, which is definitely a possibility, Is Dan Quinn in danger of being fired?
No, absolutely.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, I guess the answer would be like, look how crazy teams would go. Like Green Bay or Cleveland wouldn't jump all over Dan Quinn. I think they would.
Well, don't.
One of the problems,
I would have to guess that each of the teams so you just Jets mentioned fans. Would want an offensive coach. I mean, the Packers.
Yeah, well, that's the the first thing I said. Like, there's no way Rodgers is getting a defensive coach.
Yeah.
The Browns would, in theory, with like a really good offensive guy, because I don't think they're going to keep Williams if they don't give him the job, because Williams is an insane person whose ego will to bruise. Plus, he has 11 offers, he said.
Yeah.
and the Jets have hired.
Although, look, he won that game last week, and no one saw that coming. So.
It would be stunning if the Jets hired an offensive coach, but maybe they're stupid and they will. those are like the clear teams that are going to be in the market for a coach, and I agree they're not looking for a defensive guy, but there will be somebody. That's one of the scary things. Like, if you're the Jets, and you'd have to assume at this point Bowles has no chance to stay. Would you consider? Because we've been talking about this in like the Jets WhatsApp group and stuff. Like, is that to you an appealing job, having the most cap room in the league and a young quarterback, but a struggling young quarterback? Do you think that's an appealing job right now, the Jets' job as a head coach?
Well, appealing to who? Like, who are you hiring? Are you trying to recruit, like,
if you're
Jim Harbaugh?
Saying, how about this? If you're Jim Harbaugh, let's say, you get fired,
Shaw coming from college. No, this is what I'm saying. If you have your pick of jobs, that's not your ideal job.
That you're picking Green Bay because you have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but most guys who are becoming NFL head coaches don't have their pick of jobs. They're trying to become a coach for the first time.
But I'm talking about the hottest prospect, because there's going to be a lot of jobs every year now.
The Jets will not. It will be like last year with
DeFilippo, or if you're my guy Matt LaFleur, who I want.
If you could choose any job, you're not choosing the Jets job. Sorry, Jets.
Yeah, but not only not choosing, like, I think Cleveland's a better job because Baker's shown much more than Darnold.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think that's true.
And they have a similar cap situation.
Now, they have a better defense.
The GM job is good for the Jets because they have so much money.
Yeah.
And they have very very few commitments.
Yeah.
And you get to last a little longer. GMs rarely go after 2 years unless you were in Cleveland. So you could move on from Darnold and probably still keep the job if you're the GM if he's bad in 2 years. The Green Bay job is good. I don't know what other jobs are like. It's not like Gruden's getting fired. So the Baltimore job, that's a weird gig because there's a good roster.
John Harbaugh's not getting fired. Stop it.
You don't think so? No. I think the media guys think he is getting fired / leaving.
The owner has made some comments.
And it's
about
a different
that.
Firing. Like he's getting a second gig, so it's not like he's
So
like
it's sort of like Andy Reid or something like that.
Yeah. Like I don't think he's as nervous as.
I mean, the Ravens are unusual in that their front office and their head coach have been so solid for 2 decades, but their ownership is they're clowns. The way they handled the whole Ray Rice situation. And the fact that they're threatening to fire John Harbaugh, like the next coach Baltimore
even the
gets
Kaepernick thing, which they didn't get a lot of flack for. Yeah. Like
they polling people
were
yeah.
ready to sign him,
yeah.
and they pulled the plug because like his girlfriend said something.
Yeah, it's
some crazy reason.
It just let me put it this way: the next coach they have will not be as good an NFL coach as John Harbaugh. So if you want, fire him.
Oh, I agree.
And it's the same thing with the Eagles with Andy
it.
Reid. No, sometimes a guy's been there too long, and I get that part.
Yeah, too long, and the players you can't turn over a whole roster.
But they just drafted Lamar Jackson, and they're not going to give Harbaugh a chance to develop the guy.
Well, I think that's why you have to if you're Harbaugh, you have to play Jackson, because if Jackson plays well, there's no way you could fire Harbaugh. Like if Jackson brings them to the wild card, I think he has to keep that job.
Yeah. Well, unless
the relationship is just irreparable, which it might be, because it seems like they're like both leaking.
Well, now, I mean, now that we're talking about that, the Baltimore-Cincinnati game is an absolute. If Baltimore loses, their season's over because they've been swept by Cincinnati.
Leaving town?
Well, no, because
the 1 o'clock games are awesome.
Baltimore doesn't. I mean, Cincinnati doesn't have to leave town because they'd still be tied at 5-5 with Baltimore, and they would have tied.
They should have left town. They were so bad last week.
Yeah, that's true. And they've had a couple of those now this year. I mean, they have a -53 differential for a team that's above 500 right now, which is not great. But, in fact, I assume, yeah, that's...
All right, so who do you have winning that game while we're talking about it? Baltimore or Cincinnati?
Well, so I have Baltimore winning just because, again, they have to win.
What's the line? 3? It's got to be exactly 3, right?
No, it's not. Baltimore's been favored by 4. I mean, I've seen it 3.5, 4, 4.5 in different places.
Because Cincinnati was so bad last week?
I guess so.
It's not like there's anything wrong
with
them.
I mean, look, the advanced stats are really love Baltimore, so...
Advanced stats always love Baltimore. AJ Green is out again.
By the way, the Bengals have the 6th worst differential in the league.
Yeah.
Now, again, most of that is from last week.
4 is way too high for that spread. I would not, if I was only betting 4 or 5 games this week, I would not bet that game, but I'm not. I would bet. You know what? I'm going to put money on the Bengals there.
All right. You think they're going to win? Or?
No. +4. That's a point too high.
Okay, so you're doing the same thing with
Green
Bay.
That's a classic 3-point spread.
By the way, we talked about Dallas Atlanta, but who are you picking in that game?
Atlanta.
Yeah. And to me, I'm going to say.
And then what's the line there? 4.5?
Yeah. Or no, it's less. I think it's 4.
Still Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I'm really impressed with Dak. The team is playing really hard. It's, you know, we make fun of the Cowboys because they're so overrated, but they also have like 10 studs. You know, like they still have several solid offensive linemen. They have the best corner in the NFL in Byron Jones. Like, they have a lot of really good players.
All right, slow your roll.
So they do. They have a lot of good, they have a lot of really good players. Lee is great, the 4 games a year he plays, and then that Van Der Esch was awesome also.
All right, we'll be back after this.
They've
with the Cuba Jones.
Rushers. That's a good team.
No, Dallas sucks. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a bad team, but that's like a lot of good players on a bad team.
No, they stink.
And Zeke is awesome. Zeke is a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he's very good.
It's obviously I'm biased, but like it's ludicrous how much better the Sunday night telecast is than the other games.
Yeah.
Like they show you such cool angles that like you understand football so much better.
I love the field goal thing.
The field goal thing is great.
Although I really like ESPN showing you the offensive package.
Who's on the field?
Yeah, every single play.
It's so good for fantasy. Like, no, I have Evan Engram. I need him to catch a couple passes.
NBC, some of these other networks are doing a thing.
On the field. I don't know he's not on the field.
Some of these networks are showing you, like, if it's a 21 or a 31. Like, but you still don't know, like, I don't know, like, who's number 11 on the team. I don't know who their fourth receiver is by number.
Right. Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It probably just takes, like, one spotter and one graphics guy to quickly do it.
No, but I'm saying, but NBC was doing it, but they were only showing the numbers of the players, the uniform numbers, not the names.
Yeah, that's not so useful.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's almost a zero.
It's useful if it's your team.
No, ESPN, it's a rare thing that ESPN does better, and NBC's stubborn. They probably like won't copy ESPN right away.
But the announcers on ESPN are so abysmal that it ruins the package.
I mean,
in one of my football chats during the Monday night game, everybody was complaining about Booger, and so I said that after his rant about
some people think Booger's the best of the three, though.
Well, he is.
So crazy.
Oh, he is for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, because he has.
He brought up good things, like just by the way. I know it sounds so simple. Just Booger like smartly bringing up if Eli's a Hall of Famer is more heavy lifting than 80% of the announcers can do.
Well, I was going to say, so that's where I think Booger's strength is not like sort of his little hot take artists about coaching decisions or is a guy a Hall of Famer. I think his strength is where he talks about like the actual like the line play and like actually like in the trenches being a player.
I don't think people care that much about it, but he is good at that.
No, but that's what he's good at. But when he goes beyond that, like when he lost me permanently when he went on that idiotic rant about why you don't go for 2. when you're down 14 on the touchdown.
I mean, there no players are like, you know, unless they grew up playing Madden, are going to really.
Yeah, but so in one of my football chats.
Listen, the coaches can't do it. Why would the players be?
In one of my football chats, I said, and I thought this was an obvious joke, somebody said, oh, can you believe what Berger just said? He had said that Eli had never made the playoffs other than those 2 years when what he meant to say is that
yeah,
Eli
had
never won
that.
A playoff
he misspoke.
Game.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
he's
so,
got a guy
so people in my. People
and
my,
they corrected him.
Yeah. But people, so people in my group were complaining about that. They said, oh, Alex, did you hear the mistake he just made? So I said, I downloaded an app that automatically mutes Booger, and I thought that was an obvious joke, but multiple people in my group were like, oh my God, that's amazing. Send me the link I wanted.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No, but Witten is worse. Tessitore is growing on me a little bit.
I mean, I feel okay. Bad for Witten because it's Nebuch. He's trying, but I don't understand why they take these rookies and give him the primo spots. Like, start
what's
like,
weird is
start
that
on the fifth team
Olson.
On Fox
like,
or
Greg
CBS.
Greg Olson would be retired.
Yeah,
of course. It's
well,
insane.
Well, it was you weird last year how Greg Olson was working for Fox while he was injured but actively on the roster.
Right, in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a better job than playing tight end at this point. Like, there's no brain injuries. You're just giving the audience brain injuries.
Yeah, basically.
Detroit, Carolina. Detroit, I think, is totally mailing it in. Carolina's gonna be so mad after last week. Carolina's not bad. They just had a really bad week.
I mean, why did Snacks? Why did Detroit trade for Harrison?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Like that's an ultimate win now guy, like a 33-year-old fat dude who plays like 15 plays a game but dominates.
Yeah, and players. I'm not saying that they gave up because they traded Golden Tate. Like trading Golden Tate is like, you know, not the biggest loss in the world. They gave up because
I think it is. I think Golden Tate's one of the most underrated guys in the league.
Nah, I think he's very overrated. I think that he was underrated at a certain point. He was underrated in Seattle for sure, but he's become overrated.
Now he's properly. No, yeah, he was definitely underrated in Seattle. I mean, listen, if you ever see broken tackle stats, he always leads the league in broken tackles.
He's such a great troll also.
The problem is, like, you trading for receivers midseason has been proven a billion times to not work. I mean, Golden Tate's a really smart guy, but you can't learn a whole playbook in a week.
Anyway,
so they didn't even look at him. Like they were throwing to like obviously Ertz all game, and then Jeffrey. But even this is the second time today I'm blanking on the Eagles' third receiver.
Golden Tate, Nelson Aguilar.
No, the Eagles' third receiver, Nelson Aguilar. They were throwing Aguilar way more than Tate. I don't know if Tate's gonna like. I think Tate is useless this week in fantasy, to be honest.
Well, I mean,
I have him or had him in every league. I wouldn't start him anywhere in fantasy this week until like they show that he like could have a good game and knows the plays.
Yeah.
They weren't going near him. They were trying to get him involved in like running and that type of place. All right, so I have Carolina. Do you have Carolina or Detroit?
No, I have Detroit winning this game. And I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, whatever. But like, they got murdered 2 weeks in a row. They embarrassed themselves at Minnesota and at Chicago. Matthew Stafford looks really bad. But to be fair, both of those were on the road. Now, that doesn't explain why they lost by 2 touchdowns at home to Seattle. Or by like 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns, whatever it was, at home to the Jets. So I'm probably going to regret this, but I'm going to give it one more chance. And I'm going to think Detroit with the season on the line. I mean, this is obviously loser leaves town for them. So, or whatever the hell the slogan we're using. So I'm going to pick. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert.
They're in Detroit, so that's sort of like an advantage.
I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. I have the home team winning every single game this week. So.
Okay. So Indy Tennessee.
The only one where I had the road team was I was going to pick Kansas City and Mexico City. But now that that's moved to LA, I've switched to the Rams. So I'm an Uber homer this week.
Yeah, that Rams home field advantage. Although it will be a cool scene this week as long as people can actually go to the game and aren't really, you know, still, you know, people's lives are still upended by the fire stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Tennessee Indianapolis is actually a pretty good game. Tennessee. Still unwatchable, but like they're a wacky team, and Indy is now like one of the most exciting teams in the NFL. Andrew Luck is back; it's fun. Both these teams are still alive. That the 6th seed in the AFC, we say this every year, that's an abysmal spot because there's 5 actually good teams in the AFC. 5 legitimately could make the playoffs or almost make the playoffs.
You're playing to be the first team to lose in the playoffs because you know your game will be on at 4:00 on Saturday.
Yeah, you're going to be on 4:30 on ESPN on Saturday,
And you know you're
going to
lose.
And you're going to go to. Possibly New England and get your absolutely door, you know, your doors blown off. If you're lucky, you go to Houston or something and get killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, these teams are both still alive for that. I have Indianapolis. Tennessee just had a lucky week.
Yeah, I have Indy also. But I think it'll be a close game. I think Tennessee's defense, especially their, you know, their run defense is very good. So not a great week for Marlon Mack.
Yeah, Mack had a bad week last week also. I should have traded him. Do you want him before the trade deadline? Any interest in Marlon Mack?
Didn't I just trade him to you?
Trade on the podcast? No.
Yeah, I did. I'm the one who gave him to you.
You gave him away, but now he's good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I gave away in the other league. No. I chose Peyton Barber over him in waivers. You had him, yeah. I'm getting off.
This week?
So many leagues. No, a couple.
You chose
The same week that you added Marlon Mack, I added Peyton Barber.
Marlon Mack plays a different sport than Peyton Barber in fantasy.
Yeah, but at
this
the
point,
yeah, but it was before Marlon Mack had 30 points in consecutive games.
I understand. I drafted him and cut him in a lot of leagues, so yeah. I had to like rebuy him or not get him. Giants Bucks. It's a fun. This game could have a bunch of points. Oh, like the Giants.
Well, that's what we thought last week in Tampa. I mean, it's. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that game last week.
Well, it was just a fluky game. It was, I guess, most similar to the Vikings game where they like sort of moved the ball, but couldn't get it in. I mean, listen, the Bucs offense actually played well. They just, you know, from no,
they,
20
sc- they
20,
scored they 3 points. So
yeah, but they moved the ball. Like they played well enough that Fitzpatrick clearly was going to keep his job for one more week. Although if they don't score against the Giants, I think they go back to Winston next week.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think
that's a watchable. That's
going to
be on.
A lot of people think that for sure they're not going to Winston no matter what. It's sort of like the RG3 situation because the contract is guaranteed only for injury.
Right.
But I'm not sure if it's that set yet. You know, Dirk Cutter's playing for his job. Now, what happens?
Yeah. Cutter has to do what's best for him.
Well, but there could be a scenario where, let's say, Fitzpatrick has a bad game this week and they lose again.
Yeah.
And Cutter says he wants to go to Winston the next week, and the front office says, no, we don't want to risk the injury.
Well,
our season's over anyways.
In conjunction with him. I think they've had this conversation.
Well, or but it might be like McAdoo in New York. Maybe he gets fired.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was, yeah, okay.
Or
but
Tom
listen,
Thibodeau.
Anyway.
Can I just complain?
By the way, that's another job.
I don't think I've complained about the Jimmy Butler trade on this podcast, right? I think it happened since the last podcast.
Yeah, but it's
is that
too
right?
far ago. I really don't want
but
you to.
But this is just the one complaint I have. You know, okay. Tom Thibodeau murdered basketball Minnesota. First of all, you read the Woj article about how the whole thing went down?
I didn't. I meant to, and I never got
okay.
to it.
It's honest, you know, you read that article as a Timberwolves fan, and it's like watching like a Holocaust movie on Yom HaShoah. It's just like an abysmal experience. Tom Thibodeau murdered this franchise in six ways. It's incredible how the malpractice, how bad a job he did. And so that's not what I'm complaining about. What I'm complaining about is the article said it is a done deal that he will be fired sometime between now and May. If that is the case, why the hell did you let him be the guy to decide which trade to accept? That's the part that makes no sense. If you're saying he's fired anyways, why are you letting him choose the trade and he chooses a trade where they don't get a single first-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me.
It's insane. No, it doesn't make any sense.
Like, Glenn Taylor's as much as fault. Butler's an asshole.
Why don't
Thibodeau's
an
asshole.
Why don't they just send Jimmy home and then trade him to, like, a team that has an injury or gets desperate by the trade deadline?
I understand you had to make a trade. I don't understand why.
This too. Like,
why is Tom Thibodeau the one deciding which trade to make? I would have taken any first-round pick from anybody over, you know, the two guys they got from the Sixers, but whatever. Three guys, I guess. They got Bayless also. Whatever.
Yeah, Jerry Bayless, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
What teams do he play for? All right, Houston-Washington, that's a fun game.
Although they're going to buy him out,
defense is so. Yeah. Oh, okay. Washington defense is so good, and Houston offense is good. This is a really fun game.
Yeah, Washington, by the way,
score against them.
Washington, such a Jekyll and Hyde team. Oh, but that's another guy, since I'm complaining about things that no one else cares about. In the only fantasy football league that I really, really care about, at the last, Sunday afternoon, a guy in our league drops Jordan Reed to pick up another tight end, who, by the way, scored less than 1 point, so it backfired on him. And I, looking at all the numbers in Tampa Bay, you showed me a stat a couple weeks ago. The quarterback who plays against Tampa Bay, his cumulative stats makes Drew Brees look like a scrub.
Oh, yeah. It was like 37 touchdowns. It was insane.
Yeah.
Was much better than Rodgers or anything.
They've given up a touchdown to a tight end, I think, like 6 out of 8 weeks or something like that. I mean, they're just abysmally bad.
By the way, that's a good question. That Bucs job, is that a worse job than the Jets job if Carter gets fired? I think it is.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a quarterback, but you're also like not going to be like have the first pick in the draft or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a worse job right now.
That's a bad job. And you might get stuck with Jameis.
Yeah, so I'm busy whining about something. So Jordan Reed, who leads his team in targets, catches, yards, everything, he's going against a team that can't play defense against the pass at all, can't play defense, especially against tight ends. So at the last second, when he gets dropped by someone else, I pick him up and start him instead of Allen Robinson, and I lost by less than 2 points. And Allen Robinson had, 28 points, 2 touchdowns, and Jordan Reed did nothing. So screw you, the guy who dropped him, and screw life. So let's look at Washington. They're at home against Atlanta, a team who has looked very mediocre on the road, got blown up by Pittsburgh, lost to Cleveland, etc., and they got absolutely destroyed. Right?
Yeah.
And that was coming off a 3-game winning streak, by the way. The next week, they go into Tampa, and you're like, all right, well, now they're going to lose again. They're playing a great offense. They just gave up 38 points to a great offense last week at home, and they gave up 3 points, and they win easily. So now they're home again. I don't know what the hell to expect from this team.
I think they're going to be able to get to Watson. I think they're going to play well.
I was surprised to see Houston as a 3-point favorite on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two relatively unimpressive 6-3 teams.
I talked myself into the Reds, into Houston for confidence, but I think now I talk myself into Washington for sure.
Yeah, I'm picking Washington, taking those points.
I you know, so Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville and Philly are in similar boats, which is they're, if we didn't know what we knew about last year, and I said this last week, we'd think that they absolutely just sucked. Jacksonville showed us nothing the whole year, even less than Philly. Pittsburgh is going to win. Pittsburgh's winning that game and covering.
Yeah, I disagree.
You think Jacksonville's going to win?
Well, listen, you love the Colts. I mean, Jacksonville could have easily won that game last week.
I don't love the Colts. I said they were going to beat the Titans.
I feel like you've been picking the Colts every week for a while. You've been all over Andrew Luck.
They haven't been playing the Rams.
Yeah.
They play a bunch of AFC South teams.
I mean, last time we saw Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, it was in Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville put up 45 points. So, And if you remember, in that game, it was more the running game. I mean, Bortles didn't have to do that much.
These games are really close. It's, you know, it's like a slightly better team at a slightly worse team in most of these games.
Yeah, and this is another game where the spread, Pittsburgh's favored by 6 points on the road in Jacksonville.
I think it was 3 when it started, or 3.5 or something.
No, it started at 5.5.
That's way too high. Actually, I take it back. I would not bet those points with
Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'm taking these points also. And I'm taking the points, and I'm picking Jacksonville to win at home. So there you go.
All right, the garbage game of the week is Oakland, Arizona.
Yes, don't care.
The whole country, you know, if you're an old school guy or you're just paying attention to one game, is going to get Rams Saints, Eagles Saints, but the Cardinals Raiders, do have the same pet peeve as me that when the 4 o'clock games start coming on the red zone before the 1 o'clock games are over, you're insane.
Keep it separated.
I've said this a bunch of times. Like, I would rather watch the commercials of the 1 o'clock games.
They're cutting from super tense 30 seconds left to like the first play in the first quarter.
Yeah, just because they're in the huddle. And I guess that's like sort of what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, just show you plays, but come on.
But play up the drama. Absurd. Yeah. This team has scored 9 points in the last 2 weeks against two not that great defenses in games where it was mostly
Arizona's playing
time hard
and Oakland isn't. It's just an easy pick for Arizona.
By the way, yet another
Raiders.
I dropped Deion Lewis and Eric Ebron the last 2 weeks because I needed to hold on to Jalen Richard.
Ebron is good, and we're stuck with Doyle in our 32-team league, and he would be fine if not for Ebron. He's a good player, but man,
anyway,
that's Ebron is having a monster year. That's another reason why the Lions suck. And I said this like in week two.
Well, Ebron can't catch. Lions has always been his problem.
Nobody can. Nobody. Like, everyone gets worse in Detroit. Detroit's just like the Jets are the Jets of the NFC.
Yeah.
That's what they are, with a better quarterback.
Not much.
Denver at the Chargers. The Chargers are awesome.
This is the only game this week between a good team and a bad team.
The Chargers. Yeah. The Chargers can win the Super Bowl.
I mean, let's see them beat a good team. They haven't done that yet.
We've gone over this 12 weeks in a row. But yeah. They don't play any good teams.
Yeah. They played two good teams and they lost both.
Great teams and they lost.
Yeah. And they lost both by double digits. We'll see them at Pittsburgh. They're probably going to lose that one. We'll see them play Kansas City again.
And they don't even have Bosa yet. This team's going to be an absolute nightmare in the playoffs. The Chargers are good.
I don't know. In the playoffs, you got to play good teams.
The Chargers-Rams. What a Super Bowl.
I mean, the Chargers are going to be the 5 seed, so they're going to be favored, you know, at where? Well, actually, I don't know. Where are they? They're going to play at Houston or something like that?
That could be Houston. That's a really good game, honestly, the Chargers-Houston.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then Patriots will be 18-point favorites over, like, Baltimore with RG3 or something.
Something like that.
New Orleans, Philly. This is it for Philly. This is, you know, maybe Mike Lombardi was right. Maybe Mike Lombardi was right, and you know, and Doug Peterson sucks.
Well, you just wanted to fire Dan Quinn a few minutes ago, so is Doug Peterson the next one to go?
Yeah, is he on the hot seat? By the way, so the Jets, obviously every Jet fan wanted the Jets to fire Todd Bowles this week, every smart one.
Yeah.
And they
even
didn't.
The stupid ones.
But we were talking about the Jets are so cheap and stupid that they don't have a quarterback's coach, which you'd think maybe if you had a rookie quarterback pick third.
Wait, they don't have a quarterback? Is that true?
No. So Jeremy Bates, offensive.
To be fair, when you have an offensive genius for a head coach, you don't need one.
Yeah, a guy who definitely knows the names of the players on offense. And then Jeremy Bates, who was literally out of football for 6 years and has never been successful, is the OC and the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, he was out of football because he was hiking.
Yeah, and listen, and it's always, this is how the NFL works. If you're good, then it's like the Mike Lombardi rule. Like, if you're good, then someone will hire you. And if not, you're like talking on TV or you're tweeting or you're hiking the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
So we're saying, like, who do you make the head coach if you fire Bowles? Because you can't promote, it's the Browns' problem. You can't promote Bates because he's the worst coordinator in the league. You can't really promote the defensive coordinator because 3 weeks ago everyone thought he was on death's door, literally, Casey Rogers. I guess you could promote him if he's healthy. We don't know his health status. And I don't even know if he'd take it because he's Todd Bowles' best friend. Carl Dorrell is the wide receivers coach. He was a decent head coach at UCLA, so I guess he's probably the most natural guy. But then who's the offensive coordinator? They don't have a – it's usually the quarterback's coach, but there's no quarterback's coach. Now, Chester, I ask you, who's the assistant quarterback's coach? Mike Lombardi's son. Mike Lombardi's son, Mick Lombardi. We're one loss away from getting the Lombardi blood in our offense.
I mean, it's one thing that like half the teams in the NFL have this, you know, ridiculous – and we've discussed it before – that this nepotism in every state, like coach's son is also a coach. Yeah. But why is Mike Lombardi's son a coach? Like who is that a favor to?
Listen,
who owes a favor to Mike Lombardi?
You know how it works. Any job you've ever got has probably been because of nepotism.
Me?
And me too. Yeah. No, it's not because of nepotism.
I mean, it's because
Jerry
of privilege,
just
but
makes
it's not
one,
because of Jerry Chester. Like
Jerry Chester makes one call and that's it.
Yeah. No,
see,
it's
that's how you're, that's
it's
how
because of like
job.
The environment he raised me in, and I give credit to all that, but you know.
Listen, Jerry Chester
Jerry
donated
Chester
a wing
is.
To Harvard Law School.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
got in, and everything after that is gravy.
Exactly. Yeah. The Chester
you're,
Library.
You're
the,
yeah, Jared Kushner of Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I have New Orleans winning and covering. What's the spread again?
Yeah, it's like 7.5, 8. It started at 7. It went up from there.
Yeah, I think it moved up.
This is crazy.
7.5, I wouldn't bet
this
on.
This is crazy. I'm taking those
actually,
points.
Actually, 7.5, I'd pick Philly. But
the Philadelphia Eagles have some pride. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. Look, I'm very wrong about everything. Last week, I mean, remember last week how I said how that Eagles-Washington game in Week 17 was going to be like the Eagles would have already clinched the playoffs?
Yeah, what are you moving now to the Week 17?
Well, that's got to be the flex. The Washington won a game I thought they'd lose. Philly lost a game I thought they'd win.
Oh, Philly could be done by then. Philly could be like 5-10 that week.
Well, Philly's going to lose this week, and they're going to drop to 4-6. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
I would not give all those points.
Not nice.
But, I mean, after that, they come home to face the Giants. They go home to face mm-hmm. – then they stay home to face Washington. They're going to win each of those. They're 6-6, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They go at the Cowboys. I mean, I would have picked them to win, but who knows? They lost one already. Then they go at the Rams. I don't know. They got a tough December. Then they face Houston and they go at Washington. I think Philly at Washington will be for I think that's going to be the flex game because that's going to be for the division in Week 17.
Yeah. Minnesota at Chicago.
Yeah. Great game.
Yeah. Chicago.
Why are we discussing
awesome.
This? Did
they
we discuss
like
all the early games
already?
All the afternoon games?
We did everything. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everything's done.
All right.
It's a short week. This is the last, the
six
second
buys.
Final yeah. six bye week. I think next week is just two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Just the two teams coming back from Mexico, but not coming back from Mexico.
Yeah, so. The two teams coming back from Mexico. Yeah. It's great. I'm playing in like both leagues. I happen to be playing someone in Week 12 who has Cooks and Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's
in two different
good.
Leagues.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And this week I've two matchups where someone has Brady and Gronk. Not that Gronk's good, but
by the way, if you're in a league where the commissioner is playing against the team with Todd Gurley in Week 12, then he probably made the schedule after the draft and he probably cheated.
Oh, interesting. Why? Did that happen in your league?
No, I'm the commissioner of my league. I would never do that. But I just thought about it right
interesting.
Now. Like, because if you made the schedule, you'd want to face Todd Gurley's team in Week 12.
In again, I'm in seven leagues, so
it's
every
too hard to keep track.
Is possible. But in a league I'm in first place in, I play Todd Gurley in Week 12, but I'm so far ahead, it's irrelevant. Like, I was thinking, this is a fantasy football ethics question. Eight teams make the playoffs in this league out of 12, which is obviously too many.
Yeah.
And I've complained for next year, but I was never close enough to first even like notice. I always like sneak in as the eighth seed and get my doors blown off in the first round. So I said like, let's make it seven and give them a bye, or at least give it. There's not even money for regular season champion. At least like give the person $100 from the pot, or let them pick their opponent. That's those are all Chester staples. They're all good. Not Sammy Chester staples. Sammy Chester would have the last place team pick of basically who they're going to play.
Well, no, what we actually do at AYFFL is it's a four-team like round robin, basically. It's everyone.
Oh yeah, it's a round
robin.
It's the top two, which is
top
fine.
Two advance.
It's less fun, but the truth is the old school fantasy football way is kind of more stressful and fun, but it's stupid.
When it comes to playoffs, the fairest thing it makes the most sense. So
yeah. So anyway, what do you think about losing on purpose? To get a better play, to like change your playoff matchup. Because let's say in theory, I could fall to the two and I wanted to play the seven team instead of the eight team. What do you think about that?
I mean,
that?
You're just making too many assumptions because it's not like the seven and the eight are set in stone, are they?
Let's say they were. Let's say,
you're
I mean,
hypothetically,
there are definitely there are scenarios where you could,
if there
it.
If there was a situation where without question it would be better for your team to lose than to win. Then again, that's the fault of the commissioner for having bad rules in your league. That's why it shouldn't be that you're locked. That's why you should get to pick your opponent or whatever else we're saying so that shouldn't happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Or get a bye or get a home field advantage.
Right.
There should be some incentives that someone should never do that.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I'll put it in for next year. Anyway.
Or if it's Sammy's league, you can just switch it in the middle of the year. Why not?
Yeah, we could just vote, and yeah. then if it's 11-1, but Sammy is the one, then he wins. Yeah. Minnesota, it was just, he had such confidence that he was going to win when everyone was against him. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I guess the Chesters raised you guys. Like, were you raised like, oh, you're always right and the teacher's always wrong? Were you guys raised like that or no?
Oh, absolutely not.
Because my parents are in education, so the teacher was always right and I was always wrong.
Yeah. I mean, my parents would believe anything about me. Do you know?
Yeah, so I don't know why Sammy has all this confidence.
This is probably too long and boring a story to say on the podcast, but when we were in Israel for the year, my parents, you know, my parents come about a month after I'm there because they come for the Jewish holidays, and the first thing they do is they start yelling at me as soon as they see me about how disgusting I am, that they send me to Israel to study, and instead I'm hanging out on the streets drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. And I'm looking at them like, what are you talking about? So what happened is I had been in Jerusalem a couple weeks prior. And because I'm such a kind person, I had decided to pay a visit to some random old lady who's like friends of my grandmother who had died, right? So I pay a visit to this random old lady. The random old lady, because she's old and senile, later that day, out the window, sees some other male around my age and size walking by in a blue shirt, drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette, and decides it must be me. Calls my parents halfway around the world to say...
A senile lady who you did a favor to?
Say it again?
Calls your parents? A senile lady is calling your parents?
She calls my parents, exactly, to say, I saw your son smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol on the streets of Jerusalem. And my parents don't even call me and say, we heard this about you. They just decided it must be true, and they throw the accusation at me. I'm like, so no good deed goes unpunished. I went and visited this old lady. She then decided that anyone wearing a blue shirt that day was me for some reason. Yeah, so my parents would believe anything negative about me, no matter who says it.
I hope you went back and beat up that old lady.
I think God got her eventually. So.
Oh boy! God did not friend her. Okay. I have the Vikings. What's the line in that game? Chicago by 2.
It's 3.
Chicago by 3. Yeah, I have the Vikings. Yeah. And the Vikings plus 3. And then the Monday.
So you
night,
think the Vikings are going to go into Chicago game. And win?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen. I just don't have the confidence, you know. I think it's a toss-up, so I'll probably take the points. If the Vikings lose, it's going to be an uphill battle for the rest of the season, that's for sure.
Okay.
All right. Are we done? Oh, the Monday night, the best game of the year.
Monday night game. Yeah. This is a toss-up. In confidence, I put this last and just guessed. I think the Chiefs are going to win because the Rams haven't looked great the last couple weeks, and the Chiefs have. But, I mean, nothing would surprise me. A blowout either way, a close game, nothing would surprise me.
I mean, that was my take when the game was in Mexico. Now it's in Los Angeles, and not that the Rams have the best home field advantage, but there's got to be – I assume the line has moved, right?
Yeah, I would
guess
so.
Has moved quite a bit?
Looked, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'll take the Rams to win, but I'm probably gonna stay with those points just because I think it's such a toss-up. I think a little bit of the bloom is off the rose on McVay the last couple weeks. They haven't been as good. Mm-hmm. Their defense is really struggling.
I don't think the bloom's off the rose. Listen. No team's ever gone 16-0 and won the Super Bowl. Like, every great team still has two or three bad games. The Rams are in a little bit of a rut. They'll be fine. They're a good team. The Rams are still.
They've still won all of them but one against, you know. Yes. New Orleans is number one in the power rankings right now for me, actually. So.
Yeah, but this is still. They're still, I'd say, the Super Bowl favorite slightly over KC and New Orleans.
The Rams are?
In my book. I don't know about Vegas' book.
The problem is
if they lose this game, I would put KC.
They're in a lot of trouble for the one seed, right? Because they've already lost.
And you don't
want to
go to New Orleans. Like, some of these games, I wouldn't care.
Yeah,
I mean, KC is also tough place to play. Like, KC, New Orleans would be brutal places for a 2 and a 3 seed to have to go win.
Yeah,
those are serious home field advantages. In as much as
the Vikings played an NFC Championship game in New Orleans. I'm not sure how that one turned out, though, in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Kill the body and kill the something and the body dies or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, this was fun, even though you don't want to play the NBA game. Anti-shout-out to Sammy Chester, trying to mess with the league. Still love you, Sammy. What else? Anything else going on? You have a parent corner?
No.
You have no parent corner?
I'm sick. My kids have been sick. Everyone's been sick all week.
Do you like miss work because you're sick?
I mean, I can work from anywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
I should have asked you for a question for the dad cast. You didn't write in. You didn't ask me for any parenting advice. I was giving you parenting advice.
Yeah, I got to turn to you for my parenting advice.
Are people going to be mad that I said that?
You asked me this already.
I know, but not
by
on the air, you moron.
Before we were on the air, we were having a good conversation, which I thought should have gone on the air, Right.
What was it about? I don't remember.
It was about being nice to each other, being mean to each other, hating each other.
Oh, yeah. Chester said, Chester said I was speaking meanly to him. And I was, but it's G-Chat, and I'm messing around. And also, I'm used to talking to you, and you don't take things personally. You're never like, you hurt my feelings. You would never say something like that.
Yeah. Well, because online, my attitude is like, dish and take it as harsh as you want online.
100%. And I'm nice to you when I see you in person. I would
like, I play a character online. I'm different in person. So.
Yeah, I speak nicely to you in person.
Which by the way, I realize like, that is like the cause of most of the negativity in our society today, that people act like assholes on the internet. And so, but I feel like I'm doing it sort of tongue in cheek, so it's okay. But I guess if you don't know me, well,
I'm not mean on Twitter. I'm not going out and getting blocked by people and starting fights at all, or on Facebook, which I'm not even on.
Well, but you're obnoxious to me on Twitter, and I'm obnoxious to you on Twitter, but not to strangers.
Yeah, but that's a bit.
Yeah, like, no, I agree with you.
We don't take it personally. So Sammy said, I'm mean, and then you said, yeah, you are mean, and then we get into a whole thing. I'm not mean. I have a question. So because we're not doing a podcast before. Oh, I guess we are. What do you do on Thanksgiving? Are you a football on Thanksgiving family? Do you guys make Thanksgiving? Do you go to somebody?
Well, last year I made Thanksgiving, and I was all proud of it. I made the turkey all myself and everything, and then I posted it on Facebook, and then some nasty listener, I think Dan Birkin or something, said, oh, that turkey's not even so big, and he hurt my feelings.
Oh, yeah, it was your little turkey. And you had a lot of, like, I have to admit, you had a
lot of
side dishes.
It was 14 pounds! It wasn't little.
It didn't look little, but you had, looked nice, like it was your new kitchen, like you guys were proud of it, but some of those side dishes looked pretty schwach. Like, I was not excited about some of the sides.
Wait, hold on. We got to go back to those pictures. I was pretty proud of everything
last year.
Yeah, go
to the picture right now. I send it to me. Like, to me, some of those sides looked weak. I was not like, ooh, I wish I was at the Chester's house right now pounding all that healthy food. Didn't you have to make, like, a lot of healthy food for your guests or something?
Well, half of my family is vegetarian.
Yeah. Are Jerry and Fern coming to Thanksgiving this year?
Well, so that's what's so insane. Do you know what we're doing this year? We're going out to a Georgian restaurant.
Oh, Georgian people should be offended. I like Georgian food that's exciting, but you have... What's that, like souvlaki or whatever it's called?
Yeah, we're going to that fancy restaurant. Not fancy, that famous restaurant in Queens that like all like the foodies like and all like the famous chefs Instagram pictures of. Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
Yes. I haven't been there.
I forget what it's called, but it was probably not my decision. There was a debate in the family like WhatsApp group about where we
were
going to go.
Such a cop-out when people go to restaurants. Such a cop-out.
The argument was about who was going to host the meal, and then it was just decided, and I don't care, so I'm not going to argue.
What's also crazy is, like, maybe it works the other way, but, like, the non-Orthos, the non-Jews, go crazy over Thanksgiving, which is, like, smaller than one Shabbos for us. Like, if your wife is having company, she makes more food for the two meals on Friday night, Saturday afternoon than, like, the average American makes for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right, so I'm looking at this meal. We had meatballs.
Okay, meatballs are okay. Like, they're not really like, Thanksgiving-y.
We had, like, candied yams. We had cranberry sauce, which was fresh, not from a can.
Uh-huh.
We had squash. We have several salads. Is that your issue?
You know what? There was good things, but there was just too many healthy-looking things there for me. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving. It's not the one.
Yeah, we had, like, five salads. Again, half the people were vegetarian, so.
That's a mess. All right, the restaurant is weak. One time... we didn't do Thanksgiving.
But it's one thing if you're going to a restaurant that's going to have like a Thanksgiving theme. We're going to a Georgian restaurant. I don't even know what Georgian food is.
Yeah, they're not
going to
have like a Georgian turkey. Unless you, it's
also
like Atlanta, Georgia.
It's also my son's, so my youngest son's birthday is always Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to like, can I like bring a cake from the outside? Do I have to have like some weird Georgian dessert for like his birthday cake?
Oh, yeah, you're going to have a Georgian cake or like go home or something and do the cake there. They're not going to let you bring in food to this restaurant.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, so.
Time we didn't do Thanksgiving, we stopped doing Thanksgiving. Like, we stopped getting invited to my family's Thanksgiving, my family. Not like all of the Wienerkers stopped getting invited. And then, so we didn't do anything because my parents were like, I'm not, like, we don't have to make it. Like, you make Friday night dinner the next night. You're not making two in a row. Nobody's interested. We have a very small family. So we didn't do anything. And Mara's grandma found out and she's like, no, you have to have a turkey. So she's like, go to some restaurant. So we went out to Teaneck. Like, a lot of places were closed. We drove to Teaneck, New Jersey. We're in the city. And she sponsored our dinner. But I didn't want the turkey. I was like, well, they don't make turkey. It's not their specialty. They have like a special Thanksgiving menu. But like, that's not their thing. I want to get the ribs or whatever. So I got the ribs. And then like Merritt still like brought it up the other day. She's like, remember when grandma paid for you to get turkey, but you got ribs? So the Thanksgiving restaurant is kind of nebby, I have to admit.
Are you guys having a big Thanksgiving?
We go. We have a couple of friends. But a couple that makes, she's very into cooking. She's really into like the sous vide and the Instapot and all those things. Very into cooking. And she makes,
she makes a turkey and all the stuff.
And then the kids watch. It's much later here. So the kids watch like the parade. And then we watch the early Lions game. And the kids like fall asleep on the couch. And it's fun.
Yeah, so you were asking about football. My family never really wants to watch football, and this year we're going to be in this Georgian restaurant in Queens. It's going to be like 2 hours of traffic on the way home. That's a disaster.
Yeah,
so I'm not
going to
see
that
any football.
I would never have agreed to this.
I'll be home for the second half of the Atlanta-New Orleans game, hopefully. So.
The second half of the Atlanta-New Orleans, does that mean you're going to miss like both of the first games? Or you'll be able to watch the first game?
I don't know what the hell. Because the first game is, I got to deal with my kids all day. No.
First of all, the first game is
a Lions game. Who cares?
No, all three games are fun. Listen, you'll regret not watching this game in 6 weeks when football's over.
Yeah.
Any game you don't watch, you'll regret.
We live in different worlds. You live in a world where football starts every night for you at 8 o'clock when your kids have gone to bed already or are going to bed. Your youngest one, so you have to watch.
No, but it's not like I've never been. It's not like this is my first rodeo. Like we used to go. Also, my football's like a very pro football fan.
I'm talking about Thanksgiving. I'm talking about every single Sunday.
True.
Most people who are like American huge sports fans who moved to Europe or Israel or whatever are probably annoyed about the fact that games are on in the middle of the night. But for somebody like me who doesn't sleep anyways, it would be way better. Because your kids are asleep.
You're an exception. I mean, listen, that's why I worked at NBC, so I could just get out of the house and watch football unencumbered.
Yeah.
It was like the main thing. The money was like the side hustle. Okay. We'll let everyone go. Let us know what we should talk about next week. We got the Thanksgiving games. Should we rank quarterbacks? We haven't done that. Should we maybe just start the games, which we usually do the last 6 weeks of the year? So people are starting to ask about top 10 lists. We got that coming in December. And I don't know. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep.
All right. Have a good night, Keith. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When I first met Tom McCannon, I was working in the mines. He said he had himself a dark-haired daughter with long green eyes. And when she and I didn't meet, she was bathing in the creek. Prettiest girl in the whole damn holler, that ain't no lie. So I went according to Cade McCannon, got me a job and I quit my rambling. Every day I'd save a quarter of my pay. Well, I could buy a diamond ring. Lord, and one day I come home to find darling angel's not in sight. So I made for the creek where she and I didn't meet. And I found her with some other lover. In the Cade McCannon.